Super Gamecast 64, episode 97. Today on the show, we're talking...
97?
Yeah, about three away from that 100.
Ooh.
Today on the show, we're talking about a few things. Some VR stuff, some mobile stuff, a little bit of what's in the news, and what we did over our holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chill show. We're one man down, but we'll explain that.
Two guys, one mic.
And there's there's another guy over there. You want to give him a little... He usually spins the tunes.
Oh, right. DJ...
Kevin.
Hey.
So this is going to...
This is like OG... Well, OG reboot.
Yeah. In case you guys haven't noticed by now, Tyler is out for the episode. Tyler is a busy man.
He is.
He recently did some... We'll let him say it on the show.
When he comes back. Let's just say that there's some congratulations in order.
Yeah, it's not bad news.
He's pregnant.
No, he's not pregnant. Nor is his beloved.
No, he is. With a
boy or
with
girl.
With a sub. A submarine sand. No, I'm just kidding.
He's
the
got food a food baby.
That was the joke.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no. Sorry, Tyler.
So Thanksgiving was great. Tyler's gone for now. Mm-hmm. He'll be back maybe next episode or maybe after. We'll see how busy he's been. But it's just me and Kev running this one.
That's right.
Right now.
We're the bus drivers.
We'll try to
talk. We each have a wheel and a brake and a gas.
It's like,
so we'll see how this goes.
It's like that episode of, or not that episode, that level in Parappa the Rapper.
Crazy Taxi.
No. Step and turn the signal to the left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Step and turn signal
whoa,
to the left.
Whoa, ho, ho. Stop the podcast.
We got an emergency, can't you see?
Do you know why I stopped the pod? Do you know why I stopped the pod?
No, I don't.
I forgot to talk about Thanksgiving. What did you do, Kevin, on this? Oh, by the way, yeah, Super Gamecast 64. We're a comedy show. We're also a video game show. With me as always. Well, I'm your host, Matt. With me as always.
It's me, Kevin.
And then usually Tyler goes, and Tyler.
And Tyler. There we go.
But it's just me and Kevin right now. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. We talk about games. We also make a lot of goofs. This one's probably a little more goof heavy.
Gonna be a light one today.
Yeah. It's not going to be a long one. We're coming up on the end of the year. Still got a few games to play.
Getting back in the swing of things a little bit.
Destiny 2 DLC coming up next week. And we're doing a lot of backlog stuff for Game of the Year, which will be in the first week of January, as always. So we're doing that stuff. So we'll keep it light. We'll keep it goofy for you kids. You guys like it when it's goofy. So Kevin.
Yo, is Game of the Year going to sync up with episode 100?
If we only do two episodes and then a Christmas special in December, yes.
Damn.
Yeah, I think we should make that happen.
Yeah.
So guys, yeah, and maybe there might be like, well, this month we only did two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just expect only three for December. I want that 100 to be
that
best
be
of 2017
sweet,
awards.
That would be sweet.
It'd be a really, really good... A really good time. So, Kevin.
Yo.
As always, if you're in the U.S., late November, we all gather around to celebrate. Well, it used to be we celebrate pilgrims and the Indians, and then all that
that's
went
right.
to shit. Because
that's right.
That's all un-PC now, because we all know the true disaster of Thanksgiving. But we gather together to welcome in people that we all love, even that racist uncle. Oh, that joke has been made this week. And we gather around some delicious dinners. Sometimes turkey. Sometimes tofurkey.
And try our best not to talk about politics.
Exactly. And it always seems to happen.
Yep.
So, Kevin.
Yep.
Candidly, what did you do this Thanksgiving?
Candidly.
Give us a rundown. Yeah, I don't need to... Like, Captain's Log, 6:10 a.m. woke up, ate a piece of mashed potato with my finger because Rachel hadn't put
in
it.
I woke up late.
How late?
Like 9 or 10.
That's a good time to wake up.
Woke up late, did some stuff around the house, went to my in-laws' house, helped them cook a little bit. Actually, most of the cooking was done. We just kind of hung out, ate some turkey. Dude, I feel like I forget every Thanksgiving meal before I have my next one, but for whatever reason, this one seemed like the best Thanksgiving meal I've had in a long time.
I thought you were referring to, like, you know when you go to a Chinese food buffet?
Yeah,
and when
you're
finished, you're like, I'm never
hungry.
Eating it. No. It's please never make me go to a Chinese food buffet again.
Right.
And then you only remember that the next time you're having that feeling.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving seems to be like the opposite.
No.
For you, at least.
Right. I forget how good the food was.
You got some talented chefs in your kitchen?
Honestly, this year, Rachel's mother, my mother-in-law... She killed it, dude. It was so good.
Now you guys had that ancient Irish Thanksgiving.
No.
Yeah, right. I don't even know what nationality you are. You just got a lot of red in your beard.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Irish Thanksgiving, we eat Kerrygold butter and potatoes.
And then on the side, mashed potatoes, you got waffle fries, you mm-hmm. got curly fries. Got
home fries, you got
fries.
Home fries.
What are the really are the thin ones that are like pasta like?
Like gnocchi? No, you're thinking
those
of like
are thick ones.
The thick boys.
Did you guys
hash browns?
Yeah, Thanksgiving presents. Hash browns. Do you guys do Thanksgiving presents?
Yeah, we give each other frozen turkeys, but we do it by dropping them off the roof on one another.
I give my family members like cholera and stuff because I give them oysters and then I don't.
Do you give them blankets?
That was fucking edgy. Oh shit, guys, bring it in. Explicit.
Sorry,
episode.
Sorry. It's not as bad as you saying that bleeped word last episode.
Actually, you know what? It was funny. Funny enough, before I get into my Thanksgiving stuff. So the last episode when we were talking, one of our devoted listeners, Vince Perez. He is he is the co-host, one of the hosts of Shonen Trash, which you've got to listen to, guys. It's an excellent anime podcast. But I made the joke, we're going to have this fun game where everybody on Twitter guesses what word Matt said. And then like right after he listened to it, he's like, hey, what did Matt say? And we went back and forth. And when I finally told him what the word was, he was just like all caps, ha 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 ha. It's just, it was a funny little thing. It wasn't as offensive as anyone thought it was going to be.
No, it's really not.
Here's what I will say. Aaron Mankey, on the latest episode of Lore, said the word Chineseman. And that went forward just well.
Yeah, that one's...
That's probably the proper way to say it.
Probably.
Cluing in on context, you could probably figure out what I accidentally racistly said last week. But it's okay, guys, because we all admit our mistakes.
So anyway, after my dope-ass dinner, I ate some pie prepared by my lovely wife. And then we went to my aunt's house. Don't even go there.
No, I wasn't, but literally
oatmeal pie.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, it's this... We had it at this random ass festival, and Rachel loved it and figured out how to make it, and it's dope.
Like brown sugar?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's almost like fake pecan pie. It's got the same kind of consistency, crunchy crust on the top. It's like gooey and sweet in the center.
Let me do you one better.
Yo.
You can send this, write this down, and got send it. This to Rachel. So you remember you got the oatmeal. And they used to sell the ones that had the little, not dragons, but they were Khaleesi eggs. They were like little dinosaur eggs.
Dude.
All right, so you just buy those oatmeals, and then you sift it out, and then you pop those little eggs throughout your oatmeal pie. So then when you cook it, you have literal dinosaurs.
I jokingly asked for that for my birthday one year when I was in college. My sister sent me a whole case from Amazon. I was eating oatmeal. I was eating dinosaur oatmeal for months.
You can get that shit, I think, at like standard grocers. I don't know, around, you know, globally.
Dude, that shit was the bomb when I was a kid.
For those who didn't, it was literally just like, you know, you put the oatmeal in some water. It was like microwavable oatmeal, and then just had these little eggs. But when you cooked it through and let the oatmeal sit, then they would hatch into like little candy dinosaurs. It was great.
It would melt and the eggs would sweeten the oatmeal.
So you guys did Thanksgiving.
Yes.
That was a noise from my computer. Sorry, guys.
Shout out to Windows.
Windows Defender Summary.
What's up, Bill?
Bill wanted to let us know that he did not find any issues.
Bill Windows. My... of it is called Telestrations.
Huh.
What I like to refer to it as is like visual telephone. You take a piece of paper for every person playing.
Mm-hmm.
On the first piece of paper, you write down a phrase or a word. And then you take that and put it at the back of the pile. And then you draw that word. And you pass that drawing to the person on your left. They guess what it is, write it on the following piece of paper, and then pass their guess to the next person who then has to draw what they guessed. So
it's a dick. That's how you win.
For example, my word that I chose was killer bees. So I drew these cute little bees. One was holding a knife and one was holding a gun.
You make it intentionally difficult.
A little bit. Yeah, I like to obscure it a little bit. My dad guesses be shot or be knifed.
Be knifed.
Because he looked at it more as what do you call those? The... Nope, not Rubik's. That's a cube.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, those puzzles that they're on the fucking Mickey's caps.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he passed it slowly but surely. Eventually it became these guys holding pitchforks and torches, and somebody, of course, guessed that was white nationalists.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Which turned into Nazis, into Hitler. So my killer bees became Hitler pretty quickly.
You don't want Hitler and your killer bees. I was gonna lead into the next thing, the next Thanksgiving. But I'll sidebar real quick. My Thanksgiving woke up like 11 to noon. Right, it's about 2 hours after you're late. My girlfriend, her family, eats dinner at like noon 30, like on like some pack of savages or something. Yeah, yeah. I don't understand. Like, what do you just, did you find the turkey that morning?
Just wake up at 5 a.m.?
Yeah, bro. I don't, I've heard some people who do that. So I don't really eat in the mornings because it makes me feel sick. So I went over there and just enjoyed the nice time at around an hour. And I was like, oh, it feels so good. Just went upstairs and turned on the movie, the Exorcist. And right, you know, that part where she like looks at the priest and then projectile vomits into. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was me. But with just, you know, nothing.
Cranberry sauce.
No, I didn't eat anything. And then, so we had actually nice time. You talking to fam and stuff. And then I went home and we watched The Shawshank Redemption.
Wow, nice.
I was supposed to go to the place that was shot. For those who don't know, Shawshank Redemption, fantastic film about a book. Well, based on a book by Stephen King.
Yep.
It's about a guy in a prison. Morgan Freeman's in it. It's about this guy named Andy Dufresne. And we watched that because we were supposed to.
It was a great movie.
Fantastic movie. We were supposed to go to the Mansfield Reformatory, where it was filmed, which is about an hour and, well, 2 hours maybe away from where we are. I was supposed to do that the next day or 2 days later from that. I ended up being sick for that, but that was my Thanksgiving, low-key.
Did you know that if you eat cranberry sauce and then throw up...
You turn gay?
It comes out in the form of the can.
I feel like anywhere the cranberry sauce exists, it's only
it's
in the
always
can.
A can.
It's like they pull it off the tree, and it's like
it just
off the vines. What is
cranberries?
Yeah,
they're growing on bushes. They're in these big bogs, and then they flood the bogs, and all the cranberries.
That wasn't
flood.
A shot at gay people. I like cranberries a lot, and I think the ultimate form of cranberries is a wonderful gayman, Neil Gaiman.
Yeah. Forever associated with cranberries, right?
Yeah, that famous part in American Gods.
In Coraline, where they talk
Coraline?
About
is that written by
Neil
Gaiman?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know that. Yep. Learning everything new. So, speaking of things that are disgusting, Coraline is actually a really nice movie. It just looks weird to me. Black Friday.
Yeah.
On my way back, so me and my girlfriend watched the movie, took a little nap. I woke up, it was like 12:30 at night. I gave her a ride home, and there's a Walmart right up the street from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all like, huh, I wonder. And I rode past there about, close to 1 o'clock. It was like maybe a busy Saturday.
Yeah,
that's what it looked like. Has Thanksgiving become Black Friday now, or
I think Black Friday peaked. I think that's the problem.
I worked retail all the way through that peak, I think.
Yeah, no, so did I.
Because Cyber Monday is now just become, it's just, yeah, your deals are going to be
it's
Black
like
Friday.
Black Friday? Get out of my pajamas? Nah. I'm just going to sit on my ass until Monday.
I saw a singular deal that I was interested in, and it was like some TV at Best Buy. Because I've been looking for a new HDR 4K something to upgrade. I haven't gotten a new TV. Oh, I haven't bought myself a TV since throwback Gears of War 2 came out. I bought a monitor. Gears of War 2, a monitor. It was like $450, 22-inch or something, because that HD. If y'all remember playing 360 back in the day, if you had a standard definition television and tried to play Dead Rising 1, you couldn't read the text because it was like all blurry and stuff. So that was the push to get an HD TV, but I haven't bought one since, at least like over 10 years.
Damn.
And they had a really nice 42-inch or something for like, I think... 100 and not no maybe like 2 something.
Gee.
It was a nice markdown, but it was a doorbuster.
Oh, yeah,
that's the thing. Like, when is the doorbuster? 6 p.m.
Dude, I remember,
Thanksgiving now?
I remember being in high school and waiting in line at Best Buy for doorbusters. And what we used to do is we would meet at Denny's. All of us would meet at Denny's as soon as we could after Thanksgiving dinner. One person would just go get a table for like 6 people and then just sit there until everybody made it. And then we'd like make a game plan like, oh, I want this deal. I want this deal. Okay, you guys go to Target. You post up in line. We'll hang out at Best Buy. And so what happened is whoever got in first would just buy their shit, come to the other store, hop in line with us, go in. I got one of those Insignia TVs, probably the same one you're talking about, like probably about 42 inches. Bought it about 3 years ago for like $200.
And now it's still the same thing.
It's still great, yeah.
I honestly, my entire Black Friday history, besides the many, many Black Fridays I worked for GameStop, which we could do a whole thing about. We've talked about doing GameStop stories, and we did like a half-ish game story episode for
Tales
GameStop.
From the GameStop.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. But my my personal Black Friday stuff was, I think one year they had, it must have been 2 years ago, or maybe even last year, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Mad Max, a bunch of these games were like $10, $15 at Target. This year it was like Evil Within 2 and that kind of thing. But I went at like 9 p.m. on Black Friday, you know, so way after the crowds. And I was like, let's just see. because I was maybe interested in one or two. Walked into Target. I saw a girl working there. I saw like a few people literally in my walk. You know, there was cars in the parking lot, and I saw people checking out. Got into the game section, maybe a few other people browsing. Walked up, half the games are gone. Still Assassin's Creed. Grabbed it, went to the register, paid for it, walked out, and I was like, it was a nice Black Friday. And that's been my only Black Friday shopping experience ever, myself shopping.
I mean, maybe it's worse in bigger cities, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the all-out brawls you see.
Yeah, I would say we do have one of the bigger malls in our tri-state area. So definitely that could be an issue. But yeah, guys, at this point, it's about 15 minutes. We've talked about Thanksgiving, talked about Black Friday, made some pretty edgy jokes coming in the top of this one. I just want
to... strong.
Yeah, I just want to welcome all of our... If you've made it this far, I want to welcome any new listeners. I know we've gotten a lot of new followers on Twitter. Yeah. We've gotten a lot of new views. I've seen those charts rising. We
love it.
We're doing some cross-networking. So if you guys are finding us new and this is your first episode, thanks for making it this far. If you've made it through this first 15 minutes, you've made it through the worst of it. It's always that first 15 minutes.
It gets better, I promise.
Our opening bit, we just get all our sillies out.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Sorry if we offend anybody in any sort of capacity, as I usually do once a year.
I'm not sorry, Snowflake. My new hobby's triggering libs.
You know what? Sometimes when I punch one, like a person like you in the face, I like to have a nice feeling of pride and accomplishment.
I'm gonna take off my shirt and start screaming until my face looks like an angry tomato, hey, and then tell you about brain booster pills.
Can you take that about 70% down?
I'll tell you what. I will put those pills into a box.
Yeah.
Okay? And then what I will do is I will move those boxes around like a shell game so you don't know what you're getting.
Okay.
And then you can pay me a butt ton of money to buy my supplements and pop them in your mouth, and then you'll figure out which one it is.
It sounds like a sidestep from gambling.
No, it's actually not gambling. Don't you remember when Joe Camel was used to sell cigarettes to kids? It's the same thing. Wait.
Oh, we've lost the whole track of this. So the joke being that EA, otherwise known as Electronic Arts, this is the company that's been voted in the top five worst companies in the U.S. time and time again.
More like everyone abhors.
I mean, literally, the Forbes, someone does it. It's like a top five worst companies to work for, worst corporations in the U.S. EA has won that several times. They won it like 2 years ago. So it's no surprise when EA, more specifically the Star Wars Battlefront 2 development team, caught some flack, a.k.a. getting the most downvoted Reddit post in all time, of all time, by explaining what they were trying to do with loot boxes.
That's
and
pretty
loot
impressive.
Yeah, so they set a world record or a Reddit record for being the most hated while they were trying to explain why they had this massively, massively garbage system of Star Wars Battlefront 2 loot boxes and that kind of progression. It's been covered so many times that I'm not really going to go into it super, super hard.
Yeah, I mean, by now you've probably heard of it. It was even reported in, like, Huffington Post and stuff like that. I mean, it was
everywhere. That's why it's big, is because it transcended video games
and
became a fiscal thing.
Yes.
You started reading about it in financials.
Yep.
And that those change, not, like, sales numbers, but they change stock prices. Those are the things when you start to hear. And so what basically happened is Star Wars Battlefront 2 came out, and to buy characters that would have been previously were like included in the first game, you'd have to get a bunch of points. And long story short, it would take you like hundreds of hours, or you can handily purchase a shit ton of these microtransaction loot crates. You know, hey, $5 for 10 of these crates, you get a random item. The progression was all wrapped around that. And when that got word, when that kind of leaked out to people through the open betas and different things, there was an uproar. Then we had that Reddit post where they tried to explain it away. More uproar. They said, hey, we'll lower those costs by, you know, 70%. More uproar. Eventually, mere hours before the game came out. Like, mere hours.
I couldn't believe this when I saw it.
Because the game came out in different capacities depending on how much you paid EA in special prices or, you know, deluxe editions, early accesses. They removed all microtransactions in the game. The problem being still that the progression of the game, and this is a mostly multiplayer, it has a campaign, but it's mostly multiplayer, the progression is still tied to the fundamentals of a system built around loot crates.
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
They did not fix that.
Well, and they also said, oh, we're going to slowly reintroduce it. So basically they're like us until you buy the game, and then we're just going to shoot you
after,
in the foot.
After we sell all the hey mommy, I want the new Star Wars games,
yeah,
kids,
yeah, yeah.
You know, around Christmas and stuff, then they'll reintroduce them. But what we get is, if you've played a game like Call of Duty, or you've played any other old school-ish, or, you know, mostly modern kind of first-person shooter, there is a progression. You get a new gun because you level up and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, Star Wars was made, Star Wars Battlefront 2 specifically, was made kind of with the idea of a longer progression tied into earning credits over time. Long story short, the whole game suffers because of it. And now coming out of that, and this whole hoopla, we're starting to see Belgium is doing a, they're doing a investigation on namely Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Overwatch, their loot box systems. Ooh. To determine if they are gambling, because in Euro states, you know, they don't have ESRB, they have PEGI.
Right.
And Overwatch, and this is just what I've heard. I didn't double check this, but I'm pretty sure Overwatch and Star Wars, since they're like teen games over here, mm-hmm. those are PEGI 12, which means they're literally advertised to children.
Right.
So if there's any sidestep of gambling, right. you can't have that. And that's when we start to get more serious. We're talking about world politics at this point.
I was worried today when I was ruminating over this whole fiasco that, you know, I thought, what other games do I like that have loot boxes in them? And I thought Fortnite and how that was ruined by microtransactions. I mean, I was so hyped for that game. And then as soon as I found out there were microtransactions, I just stopped playing.
Fortnite's a whole other deal right now, because we've talked about that before. But Fortnite, in a nutshell right now, is when people refer to Fortnite, they're referring to the Battle Royale. Mm-hmm. They're not referring to the Fortnite that Kevin paid money for, that many people backed, and is not being supported anymore. Most ironically, will be free to play in 2018. Fortnite is definitely going to come up in Game of the Year discussions, not because it did anything fantastic in its normal, but this year we're going to have...
Biggest letdown?
We're going to have some more interesting things, kind of like when we talked about ReCore last year.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys haven't listened to Get Amped Up...
There's
about 3 hours across 2 episodes of our Best of 2016 awards. Those are still available on the
feed.
And
those are some of our better episodes, quite frankly.
Yeah, if you want to hear... Because when it comes to Best of the Year and Game of the Year stuff, we don't really hold back like we used to. There was a few shouting matches between you and Tyler when I was listening.
Yeah.
Tyler... said something about the Doom multiplayer, about him liking it, and I just said, well, sorry, you like trash. Like, it's interesting. We go at each other. Once again, apologies to Vince Perez for not including Dark Souls 3 in that. Dark Souls 3 Game of the Year 2016.
Dark Cups.
Ah, check that out if you guys haven't. There's a
Dark Souls style, Cuphead style Dark Souls animation going around Facebook right now. It's pretty neat.
Check it. Reddit, r/game, you'll probably find it. But the biggest thing about this is the EA thing, and I've heard several points, but here's what I want to say in general, because this is what I think about it, is the pendulum consistently swings. If you think about, 5 years back, well, it's hard to... 360 era Crysis 2, that's literally whenever that came out, that year-ish. EA said, hey, used games, we don't like those. So if you buy a used game, you can't play our game online. You have to buy the $15 code. If you buy it new, it comes with the code.
That's so shitty.
That's when the pendulum swung farthest the other way. Last time pendulum swung, pre-orders. Retail-specific pre-orders. Yeah. They're always trying to get a nose up. The thing is these things eventually start to teeter off because we go towards a digital market. And here is where we're encountering our first digital market issue.
Well, this is
the
why...
The penny and diming of it all.
This is why... If given the option, I will always opt for a physical copy, because then you know there's resale value. Then you
at
know
the very least, yeah.
I literally never sell games back, but just knowing that I can is great.
But then we do run into the issue, like we said time and time again. What if those servers go down? You have a disc, but something like No Man's Sky, the 0-day patch, it's not a good game. No Man's Sky, if you sell that to somebody physically who doesn't have internet, or maybe, you know, in 20 years, PSN in that specific capacity isn't mm-hmm. up. Physical media has become different in this day, but it always does feel good to be able to sell this disc.
Because it's a companion piece, and in a lot of cases, they give you a disc that just redirects to the download. The content's not even on the game.
We're getting to that point. Like Cuphead? Was it Cuphead? One of these games just had an indie release, and it's a box that has a code in
it. It was just a metal box. I'm pretty sure it was Destiny.
But that's, I think... Discs, at least, are nice collector's pieces.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can make a box, or like a disc printed.
The reality is, I think we're looking at the beginnings of a bit of a paradigm shift.
GameStop's trying to get into digital stuff. It's all changing.
Beyond that, I'm just talking about this stance on EA, because it's one of those things where it's going to be a landslide. You know, it starts little. It starts with, you know, Belgium speaking out. It starts with all these gamers making their voices heard. eventually it's going to turn into a full industry sweep where people are just not going to buy games if there's microtransactions.
You're
going
to see consumers walking down the aisles with boomboxes on their shoulder, John Cusack style. We're not going to take it. No, we're going to take it.
I'm going to say the same thing that everyone else has said. Whatever happened to... I mean, we're spending $60 on games already. That's a lot of
money.
That's
in the US. In AUS and stuff like that, there's been 80 to 90 comparatively.
And you're not even getting a full game. You're getting a game that requires you to spend more money.
We were having this discussion when Marvel vs. Capcom 3 came out, and they were the DLC was on the disc. It was just locked behind a few, you know, lines of code. It's always been something, and it'll always be something, but this is the first time we've reached that peak where first time in a while we've reached that peak where it has crossed into the financials of Huffington Post. It's now, and it also comes with the idea of, this is Star Wars. This is one of the biggest, if not the biggest currently, with Star Wars Episode 8 coming out, biggest franchises, and we're talking about Disney.
And they just announced 3 more movies.
Yeah, Disney. If Disney wanted to kill a person, they could come out and say, hey, we're gonna kill this person. They would die and they would not get in trouble. Disney is that big.
Oh yeah,
you know, like, so when you piss them off, and that's kind of what the rumors were, that eventually there were some talks between different executives from Disney and stuff, but I mean they're all compliant on it for someone to say like, oh, Disney came and saved it, it's like, no bro, you know Disney was in it every step of the way, because they're like DC with that shit. They stick to their costumings and stuff, mm-hmm. so close. And honestly, about 27 minutes into this thing, I'm sick of talking about how it's been bad. So jumping off of that, mm-hmm. unless you have any other closing things?
No, I'm getting to the point too where it's like...
Remember we were like, it's going to be a light episode full of goofs. There's air quotes around those
things. We spend a lot of money on games. Even though, you know, occasionally we net a review copy of something... it's personally, exciting to me. Yes. Yeah, it's exciting to me as a player to see such a high profile game getting shit on.
Yeah,
to
be completely honest with you. It shows that even the most high cannot be knocked down a few pegs, and EA is the one that's been 40 pegs ahead.
But even watching Battlefront and watching gameplay, as shitty as it is, I want to play that game, but I refuse to until they fix that stuff. Until, you know, the loot boxes are just like Overwatch. They're non-competitive. They're skins, they're voice lines, they're things like that.
It's weird for me because I'm I'm not trying to be a dick here and, you know, boot my own horn here. But I am a journalist. I'm a video game journalist. So it's hard for me because I'm supposed to report on it. But personally, as a consumer, I was supposed to do a Star Wars Battlefront review, but that meant I would have to go out and procure my own copy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd have to play it. I'd have to experience it. And yeah, of course, I'm doing that so I can tell other people about it. But just how the bad taste left in my mouth, I was like, I'm not going to write about EA. I'm not going to write about this game.
Right.
Let someone else do it. And that's bad on my part. But I'm going to eventually have to play this in the next month because I'm going to have to talk about it at Game of the Year. It's not going to win, but we do a single-player FPS campaign only, and that does have an FPS campaign. I played nearly every single other one, so at this point, I kind of have to. I'm going to pick it up, but that's, like you said, the inherent issue is they have to fix these systems, not just patch them up. They have to fix them.
Well, not even just, like, suspend them, you know? Don't bring back Frankenstein's loot boxes. Like,
keep it. Fix it. But it's hard to fix because the whole entire game was kind of built around that whole idea. Let's move on from it. This will probably win, like, biggest shit show of 2017
award. Yeah, they just want to provide a sense of achievement.
But, like I said, Disney is as compliant in it, I would think, because, like DC, they are super crazy about their licensing and about their costumes. Well, DC's gotten a little bit more nuts as of late. And let's just move on a little bit happier. A little happier piece of news. Coming out here on December 12th. We have Fighter Pack 3 for Injustice 2. Now, Injustice 2 will definitely get talks in Game of the Year.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite fighters of the year.
It really was good.
I literally booted up last night, and I played... they have, like, you know, your daily challenges, and it's win 3-player matches. So I haven't played this game since probably, when did it come out? May? It's been at least, I would say, over 3 or 4 months that I played it. And I was, like, hopped in, picked up Blue Beetle, who was my main, just... kind of tried to do some combos and stuff like that, and I ended up winning, and it was a good time. And then I went to the multiverse, and the multiverse is that very always expanding, or it's always refreshing sets of canned kind of fights. Think of like Mortal Kombat Towers, but they're themed. And they had a Thanksgiving planet, And so I went to the Thanksgiving planet, and I fought three people while every now and again there would be turkeys that would come in from the top of the screen that were gobble, 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 and they would explode on you. And so that's what's fun about Injustice. They do holiday content. They have all these different fighter packs. You know, Hellboy's in it. You got Bizarro. Tons of cool stuff. And then this happened, which not only kind of blew up the Injustice 2, this is a good thing, community, but also reached out across the gaming community, and I would say YouTube kind of reactors as a whole. You know, there's everyone likes those trailer reaction videos. I saw quite a few for this. We have in the new fighter pack
Ron Perlman, baby.
Ron Perlman. Well, David, what's his the new David Hellboy? Harbour. David Harbour from Stranger Things.
David fame. Perlman.
He's going to be the new Hellboy.
Yeah, I saw that.
But the new fighter pack has the Enchantress. Right? That's from Suicide Squad. Is that who that... Okay, the Enchantress.
That awful dance she does.
But this in
It's the in-universe version, not the Suicide Squad.
Not the Suicide Squad.
Version.
So,
thank God.
Enchantress. We have Atom, who can change his size, kind of like Ant-Man. Spoilers for Civil War, I think?
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry. And then in this trailer, you know, we see them going back and forth, and all of a sudden, whoop-pink! A sigh, right? That's what they are, the three prongs?
Yep.
Hits the ground, and then you see from the shadows, like, hey, I want to fight motherfucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles! Teenage Mutant Ninja
Pizza
Turtles!
Pizza time.
Pizza double time. Better ingredients, better people, not Papa John's. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles making them pizzas.
What would be better is if they included Shredder.
That would be very cool.
I like that.
But this, I'm liking this because Injustice has had, like, Injustice and Mortal Kombat, because they're both made by the same developers, have done guest characters before.
But every sandwich is better with a little shredder.
With a little shred cheese. What about if they had,
the mouse.
Yeah. Ninja mouse. Ninja mouse.
Bowman.
Bowman.
Bowmouse.
Bowmouse. He's good. He's
all... Yeah, the old
whiskers.
Master.
Yeah, whiskers. Master whiskers.
That's it.
Anyways, so you have all five Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You got Leon. You got Leon. You got Donnie. You got
Mikkel.
Miguel.
I'm sorry,
Miguel. What? Mike? Michael? Yeah, Miguel. You mean
Miguel?
Raph.
Santiago.
Gonzalez.
No.
Are we just naming off like
Ringo and
John Lennon
and Bono.
Is my favorite TMNT.
No, he swings around the microphone.
April O'Neil is just like riding John Lennon.
April Ono.
around 32 minutes is when it gets funny, is what I'll say.
Yep, that's where we're hitting our 32-minute stride. That's what they always say.
It's always around 30 minutes is when it gets funny. Okay, so for real, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles popped up. Like I said, Mortal Kombat has had guest characters before, but they were very much horror characters in like MKX
Freddy
and stuff. Yeah, even Mortal Kombat 9. So we're now seeing these cooler characters, kind of like Killer Instinct, having Battletoads and like Arbiter and stuff like
I'm
that.
I'm sorry, I keep thinking the mouse's name is Ratchet. I know that's not his
Ratchet
name.
And Clank.
What the hell is
Jack
his name?
Jack and Daxter.
Oh, God.
Who?
Josh is going to hate me.
Splinter.
Yeah, Splinter.
Yeah,
that's
Shredder
it.
And Splinter are
yeah,
very...
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
why people
yeah,
always
yeah.
hate me. No, okay, yeah. So the
Master
question is...
Splinter.
Will they play? Will it be one turtle that you can switch between the skins, and that's what like kind of gives them the different weapons, or is it the whole turtle team and you switch between them?
Better yet, when you get the upgrade items, you're gonna get like new shells and stuff.
Wow, cowabunga! No,
Pizza Man's got 30 seconds.
When you press B in Injustice 2, it does give you a power. So I wonder if that just turns you into like an actual turtle, and then just game over.
I just hope that the spin move. Who's the one with the?
You press A and B together on the NES controller.
Yeah,
you lose a little bit of life, but you get extra hits.
I hope that's in there because that's how I won that game all the time. Just spin to win.
Damn, it's a deep ref. What is that? TMNT 3?
It was like for Super... For, no, it was for
Well, you could do
Nintendo.
It in many side-scrolling beat-em-ups. We're talking about a special move. In side-scrolling beat-em-ups like Turtles in Time, Manhattan Project, Final Fight, if you pressed your attack and jump button, I think, together, you would do a superpower attack. And I think it was either... Oh, or in Turtles in Time, if you picked up a specific pizza, you'd do that crazy windhouse.
No, I'm talking about before that.
Okay, then
that was... The first level, you're on the beach.
TMNT, that is TMNT 3, Manhattan Project for NES.
Yes.
And if you press A and B together, you go
spin. And you can just spin to win the whole time. Or you can do the jump
kick.
The jump kick.
If you've never played that game for the NES, just go download.
It's so good.
Literally, if you Google that game, you can get an emulator for it in like 2 seconds. Or you could probably play it in a Flash browser. You
probably could.
But anyways, let's hop off of news. That'll be coming out 12/12.
Tutorials.
Fighter packs are $15. I just wanted to bring that up because it is one of the cooler things that we have seen.
Is Hellboy included in that one or no?
No, Fighter Pack 3 is just those three characters they've done. So, but it is Fighter Pack 3, meaning Fighter Pack 1 and 2 have come out. I think Hellboy was 2. Each pack has three teams, or excuse me, three teams. Players. Well, I don't know about that. Some of them are old. Three players, and that's the question. Is like, is TM technically TMNT's four kids? You know, turtles, teenagers.
Kids? No, they're not kids. They're teens.
Semantics. Anyways,
it's in the name, man.
While we're here, because that's coming out in a week, let's talk about like just really quick. What else is coming out on December 5th? Destiny 2.
Yeah, Curse of Osiris.
Osiris. No new raid, but there are things called raid lairs. Me and Kevin will be doing a dual review of that on
I was kind of surprised to see that there wasn't going to be another raid. I thought that was
Here's the thing, though. The Leviathan is a huge ship. Its worlds could have a whole raid inside of it.
But why is it Curse of Osiris? I guess the raid's not going to be Osiris related.
Then. Yeah, then it's
just new content.
That's what like the whole entire area will be in the story probably on there. We're also having Okami HD come out. Which is the PS2 game. You play as Amaterasu. It's kind of like a Legend of Zelda adventure action game. Fantastic.
Very art-based.
Yes, very pretty, very cute
I really
game.
Do like the art style in that game.
How much? Guess how much it is. You know, remaster?
$29.99.
Ooh, close. Minus 10. $20. We're talking about those old 360 premium prices.
That's good.
And yeah, for a PS2 game that's remastered,
yeah.
Okami.
And for $20, that's a great game.
Yeah. So get that. A lot of other late releases. We'll be talking about some other stuff coming in. Anything else really big in December you can think of? What are you mostly... Are you looking forward to that? You look forward to that... Sorry, I'm looking
Big
at something.
Big things ahead. I'm looking forward to are not going to be in December. They're going to be early. They're probably Q1 next year.
I'm just trying to think because Okami was like the one thing I'm looking forward to in December, and I could have swore there was one other thing, but there's so much stuff like Star Wars Episode 8 coming out.
They're supposed to be dropping a Yoshi game somewhere in December.
Doom VFR comes out in the first, which is Friday. You'll probably be hearing this. If you were listening to this after the Friday it came out, then it's already out. But Doom VFR will be fun. I will do a review for that as well.
There was a Cyber Monday deal to get the new Yoshi game, the new Yoshi title on Amazon for like $20 off list price.
Really?
And it's not even announced yet, so I don't know. You know Nintendo. They like to announce it and then drop it immediately.
Yeah,
so.
We'll see. So
yeah.
We'll see what
Allegedly,
happens.
There's supposed to be some sort of Yoshi game coming out in December.
But that wouldn't have been the
or
Yoshi
maybe January.
For Switch. You said,
it is for Switch. The only thing I've seen for it is like a felt
Here's
Yoshi.
Here's the thing, though, is from working at GameStop, if it has a placeholder date, it's 12/31 or 1/1.
Yeah.
And so that'll show up as a December or January release date. That can be confusing, but Nintendo
No idea. Who knows? Here comes the treehouse.
Real quick, Magic actually, then, tree. That's a question. So PUBG gets a 1.0 of, quote-unquote, Players Unknown Battlegrounds is coming out. I know how silly that sounds right now, but it is... quote unquote officially released,
right.
I think December 20th, which means it will be in our talks for Game of the Year. Unless we just, we'll talk that episode. We'll make a decision at the top. I, for one, don't want to because it's only on PC right now. It's not on Xbox One. And I feel like we can always posthumously award that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm very, very much looking forward to games that aren't going to be considered for Game of the Year, including Bloodstained.
Yeah.
The Iga game.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to the Stardew patch.
A lot of
The multiplayer
content.
Patch and content.
So that's what's coming up.
I've been reading some of the dev blogs, and he's adding a lot of stuff. That's going
to
be pretty
Chuckle.
Neat.
Chucklefish, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm looking forward to that.
Well, Concerned Ape.
Concerned Ape. But Chucklefish is that who do this stuff?
Chucklefish published. Concerned Ape developed.
Yeah. Ah, fun. I was playing a game that we'll talk about here. You know what? Actually, let's just hop right into it. So we're done with news. News is over. I wish I had a stinger or something. Oh, you know what? Yeah,
okay,
no,
there's your stinger.
Thank you, because I'm not going to edit that much. I was going to do VR stuff first, but
this is holistic. This is like SGC Unplugged on VH1.
Kind of is.
It's you know, we're bringing
Loose
it down
form.
To the bare bones. Like, we're kind of the acoustic guitars of the set. Mm-hmm. When Tyler's our bass.
Yeah.
And sometimes our percussion, because he likes to slam his hands on the table.
Yeah, so without that, you know, we're just half a band.
That's right.
And half the man I used to be. We were going to talk about VR stuff coming into these games, but yeah, I've been playing a game. Kevin, you haven't played too much of it.
I played about 4 minutes of it.
No.
Oh.
We did three down.
Three down.
We were talking about Stardew Valley.
I still feel like I was playing 4 minutes of
Okay, cool. But, yeah. I got that feeling about after playing maybe 10 to 12 hours of this game, because you idly play it.
Right.
I was like, I should play Stardew Valley. And that game that I'm talking about is Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. The reason being that this game is the equivalent to, you know, when you're 13 and you're rubbing up with a girl or a boy or whoever you're into, and you just never get the sexual pleasure you want. You're always left wanting more. It's just a tease. It's a big tease. And the reason I bring up that...
Is it because the peaches look like butts?
No, it's because, like, the reason I'm saying, like, 13 is because it's just, like, the most invigorous. It's that nostalgic tease, bro.
It is.
It makes me want to go back and play my GameCube. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they're in this game, it is... Well, you know what? You've played a little bit of it, and I've played so much of it. I want you to explain it because it is pretty basic, and I don't want to over-explain it. So tell our people... what is Animal Crossing Pocket Camp for those who may not know?
So imagine you live in a world completely underwater.
Fuck, that was good.
Completely inhabited by animals, anthropomorphic animals.
They can talk. They can walk.
They can walk. They can just take presents from you nonstop.
But more specifically, you're camping with them.
You're camping with them. You are the camp director, and it's your job to arrange the furniture in your camp to attract certain animals to make them want to come spend time with you your camp.
Also just to make it look cool for you.
And also play the maracas and annoy the shit out of you.
I don't have anybody who plays maracas.
Jesus. The little squirrel just sits there and shakes the maracas over and over again. Anyway, yeah. So the whole impetus of the game is just like any other Animal Crossing game where you run around, you collect stuff, you know, you catch bugs, you pick fruit, you catch fish,
Seashells, that's the four things you can collect.
Yep. And you run into animals that are camping in those spots where you harvest those goods, and they want those goods, so you give them to them, and they give you back raw materials like wood, cotton, steel, things
and
like that.
Also, when they say, oh, I want two peaches and a butterfly, you give it to them, they go, oh, thanks, and their friendship meter with you goes up.
Yep, and that makes your level go up. So... Mm-hmm. After reaching level 3 friendship with any one animal, you can invite them to your camp. But the catch is, all of them have these unique characteristics like cool or cute or sporty.
And, think of it like Pokemon.
Or like the Spice Girls.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what you have to do is you have to put furniture on your camp that follows those guidelines of cool, sexy,
fun,
cute,
hip,
fun, not sexy,
modern. There's more than four.
Yeah,
there is. Although they try to make it seem like there's only a few.
At first, there's four. But so you stack your camp with these special furnitures to get these animals to come. They enjoy your camp, and all told,
that's the loop.
That's it.
That is the loop.
That's it.
You are. What level are you overall?
I'm level 7 or 8.
I'm level 17. And so here is the loop, what Kevin just said. Like I said, you go to these different areas. In normal Animal Crossing, you have like a town or something that you can walk around freely. In Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, you just kind of click on these maps and you go to places. And like, so one area is there, you get bugs. One area is like the places you pick fruit. And so you go around, you collect stuff. Occasionally it'll be like, your inventory's full. And you're like, hey, screw off. But you can put excess items up for grabs on your quote-unquote market box or market list, which other players can then like... come in and buy and stuff, because you can see other players kind of every now and again when you're walking around.
There's also Shovel Strike Quarry, which is
weird.
Weird. I haven't successfully done that, but it's a mine that you can delve into.
I did it once. Essentially, you walk around with a shovel. There's like a bunch of rocks, and there's say maybe there's like 20 rocks in the area. You have 5 attempts, and it's that idea of like, oh, this rock might have silver ore or gold ore or rubies. You don't know. You just, it's like a Legend of Zelda minigame.
Right.
And you, so you pay either,
you can either like, pay your leaf tickets or you can recruit 5 people to help you get into Shovel Strike Quarry.
And that's kind of where you usually get the more rare, or you can more likely get the rare stuff.
Right.
But here's what I say specifically about Animal Crossing is because a lot of the things that Animal Crossing does could be lended to the things that we were talking about in the first 30 minutes. You know, microtransactions, these things that freemium, free-to-play, where's the paywall? This game doesn't have a paywall. It just slows down over time. You know, so it might take 3 minutes to craft this cool little bench you want to make, but eventually you're going to have to craft something like that takes 5 hours.
It's like any incremental incremental game.
But I have played, like I said, for 10, 15 hours. Kind of like, well, diddled it on my phone with it for 2 days straight. I've had it and just turned on every 20 minutes, you know, whatever. And I have not encountered a paywall.
Yeah.
I have still, every time you level up, there's like a new little friend you can call and, you know, hang out with her or invite to the camp. Those things still keep coming in. It doesn't seem like the game is going to run out of content. It seems like I'm just going to get bored. And that's more, because it's a tease.
More importantly than that, I haven't been served any ads.
Yeah, no, it does not feel like...
I haven't been served any ads, whether they're self-promoting or otherwise. There's literally a single banner in the top left corner of the screen that is easily ignorable.
Most of the time it says, how to play for me.
Right.
Not, like, buy something.
Yeah, it's like, oh, here's the special pack, and I'm pretty sure you can just unlock the special pack as you can unlock any other
It took me longer to find where to buy things than it did, I had to go looking.
I still don't know. Where?
You have to click on your leaf tickets, and then you have to go to purchase leaf tickets, and then they give you the things. Okay. Because leaf tickets are constantly the free...
You get them all the time.
The premium currency you earn for doing stretch goals and like weekly challenges and leveling up. So tons of stuff. What I will say is it came out internationally. It was out in Australia.
22nd.
And then on the 22nd of November, it came out in the U.S., guys, just play it. Have a good time.
It's fun. It's not going to last long, so get on the bandwagon while all your friends are playing. Otherwise... Yeah.
It's one of those things that it's. I don't think it's going to have the legs.
No.
Probably past Christmas, because Animal Crossing as a franchise is known for kind of doing holiday things. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do for Christmas.
Yeah.
But after that, who knows? They didn't do anything for Thanksgiving, but it was like the game had just launched, so I didn't expect them to do anything. But yeah, we'll see.
Speaking of mobile games.
Do you want to do that now, or do you want to go to VR real quick? It's up to you, bud.
Yeah, let's do VR. Let's mix it up a little bit.
Let's start with a smaller one.
46 minutes.
Yeah, but
we don't know how to shut up, do we?
No, our episodes are usually about an hour 30.
True.
With three people talking. And
true.
Me and you going back and forth. Sometimes when me and Kevin just talk on the phone, we just get into banters.
And we go, man, we should record a podcast where we just talk.
Yeah.
Just talk about bullshit.
But the problem is that we talk about real things when we're on the show, and we kind of get lost. Yeah. But the goofs are still there. Anyways, let's do the smaller one first, because this has been out on Vive. This has been out on Rift, the second one. And it just now came to PlayStation VR. I have the PSVR. That's why I'm able to play VR games.
I watched approximately 2.5 minutes of this game.
It's a game called Rec Room. It's a social space. Free for everybody. You don't have to have PlayStation Plus. You don't have to have VR. You won't be able to play it, but you can get it. What it is a social area. It's like a recreation hall. You know, like a place you would pay $10 a month to go to, and you can, you know, use their basketball courts and like use their
community center.
Exactly. A community center. You hop in. There's people. You can see them. You can talk to them. Everyone's wearing their little VR helmets and stuff. And there's a variety of activities you can take in if you don't want to just sit around and chat with people. But what I found with Rec Room is that the community... Although after release it's become more and more kids because it is a game aimed kind of towards kids, it's a good community. It's a quick way to find people who have VR who want to play other games. And as this game grows, it is a beta. It is free. There really isn't any microtransactions. There's no monetization in the game. It is just free, straight up free. There is, I want to say, well over half a dozen things to do. You can do paintball. You can do laser tag. You can do 3D charades. You can do these four-player co-op adventure quests, which, maybe I'll use a sword and shield. Maybe I'll use a bow and arrow. All these crazy things you can do, and you just keep having fun. And at the end of the day, you know, you just play until you have fun. I enjoy paintball. Probably the most. That's what you saw me play.
Yeah.
As a viewer standpoint, what are your... ideas on Rec Room, because it is pretty bare bones.
It's low poly. It's like kind of
you have two hands that you can move stuff around, and you can press the triggers. That's it.
Yeah, I mean the only thing that was kind of jarring for me was the teleport mechanic instead of movement.
Thank you. This is why there's no direct movement.
Yeah.
Regardless of where you are, you always teleport. When you're in the social area and you're not playing a game, you can teleport as quickly as you want. But in something like paintball, you know, you might teleport somewhere and there's like a 3 second you have to wait before you can teleport again. That kind of stuff I wish was changed. But the thing that's important about Rec Room is I found it in the PSVR subreddit because the developer was there talking to people, letting them know it was coming out, and they had created a whole entire guide. Since this is a game that's been out on PC VR units for almost a year or two, they said, hey, PSVR users, we're the people who made this game. We really want you to enjoy it. It comes out tomorrow. Here's a list of things you can do. Here's how to do some of the things you might not understand because it's not tutorialized. But they're listening to people. It even came to the point where someone's like, hey, it's free, but what's the catch? And they're like, currently there's no monetization. We are going to be doing that, so we would love any sort of request or like any sort of ideas, because with things like Star Wars, everybody wants to not piss off their fan base.
Right. You
know? So they're out there and listening. And that, for me, a developer who will get out there, go on their own time, go on Reddit, and go and talk to these communities that like to play their game, deserves a check. And it's free.
And from a community manager standpoint, from a game design standpoint, it's free feedback.
Yeah.
It's there. Yeah. Just listen.
You just have to take the time to do it.
I know it may not be realistic in a lot of cases, like, obviously, like, oh, I want to ride a T-Rex and shoot a gun that shoots other guns that shoots.
But if you're listening, if you're listening in it correctly, that might be like maybe somebody wants a large mount.
Right.
You know, right. Like it doesn't have to be exact semantics.
Yeah.
The point being that this is a game that is made to be social. You're supposed to talk on your mic.
Right.
Every time I enter the room, I say, "Hey guys, what's up?" As soon as I'm teleporting up, I'll say, hey, guys, and I'll wave to whoever's around and just be like, hey, I have heard the opposite, because that was the coolest thing for me, is walking and hearing other people talking and then going, yo, you want to play a game of horse? Because there's a basketball court. Someone go, yeah, sure. And I played a game of horse, just casually talking about PlayStation VR and stuff like that. But I have heard the opposite. People hopped in and realized their mic was on and people were talking and they're introverts and don't like that and just turned it off. So that is an opposite for it. You know, it is a social game.
Yeah.
A game that is not social, though. Moving on. It's a solitary experience. One that you do for hundreds of hours, depending on your enjoyment, has finally made its way to VR. What game are we talking about?
We're talking about Da Blob.
Mm-hmm. Da Blob? Da Blob. We're actually going to get to Da Blob later.
We will.
We're talking about Skyrim VR.
Skyrim VR.
Yep. You probably all played Skyrim at this point.
Who hasn't?
We won't waste time explaining the overview. You're Dragonborn. You can yell at dragons. Big old world of Skyrim. It's part of Tamriel, Elder Scrolls.
Hey, dragon, get down here. Give me your bones.
Give me your bones. So the VR. I have played. I did a review of it. You can check it out. It's at 90skid.com/Skyrim-VR-review if you really want it. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10. Most of that not being, you know, a 9 or something was due to, like, glitches and not just, ooh, Skyrim giant hits you, you go up in the air glitches, but, like, back out from your map and all of a sudden all of the surroundings are washed out and, like, lacking color. Or, I don't know, just all of a sudden the entire sky becomes a shattered dome of, like, polygons, which makes me realize that I'm in VR.
Sounds dope.
And those are the issues. A lot of flickering, some things like that, that really turned me off because they were consistent. But here's what's cool about Skyrim VR. I have played it hundreds of hours, as you have, Kevin. I never did the DLCs, though. Going in, I was like, I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy this game just based off the novelty of immersion. Being in there swinging my sword, wow, cool. 33 hours over the course of a weekend. It changes it completely. It's not going to change the quests, you know. The Skyrim VR as a game, you purchase it for $60. It's only VR. That was something crazy to me. It's like, there's not a VR mode. If you buy Skyrim VR and you don't have a PSVR, you don't just get normal Skyrim 2. It's like, that's it. So I can't wait for the accidents that are going to happen.
Oh, boy.
Then again, it's a six-year-old, so I don't... Or six-year-old game, so I don't
it's
think...
It's a six-year-old.
I don't think that parents are going to be like, oh, my kid wants Skyrim in 2017. Knowing
Skyrim's going to first grade.
Shit, actually, Skyrim is also on Switch.
Yes, it is.
Which I hear a lot of people are enjoying.
Yeah.
Some people are saying that's the definitive way to play.
I've been trying to talk myself out of buying this game.
Don't get it again.
I mean, don't get it again?
Yeah, don't. It's $50 or $60, right? You're going to bounce off it. There's way more things that you should be playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Game of the Year coming up, every hour you spend in Skyrim is an hour you should be doing or something else.
Yeah, and you're damn right.
That's something I've been fighting with myself a lot, because I got 10 straight wins in Rocket League and I never felt worse about it. I won and I was still sad. So Skyrim VR, the reason it's cool is because it allows you to do things that you weren't able to do in the game before. Namely, fast...
Grab people's butts.
You grab people's butts. Just really get up into them. I had this instance. It was weird. You know, in the Assassin's Guild?
Mm-hmm.
This is literally the first quest for it, so no spoil. You have to kill the orphanage lady, right?
Yeah, you kill the orphans.
No, you don't kill the orphans. Can't kill kids in this game. Can't, unless you have mods. That's weird.
No, I didn't.
You have to go and kill, like, this really mean
kind
lady.
Grelod or whatever her name is? Yeah. No, what?
Grelod the Kind.
Grelod the Kind, yeah.
She runs this orphanage. She's really bad, and one of these kids is like, go kill her, because you're an assassin, right?
Sweet mother, send your child unto me.
That is the Black Sacrament. God, yeah. I love this game. Anyways.
It's good. It's good.
So, being in, feeling like you're truly in Tamriel, I mean, it doesn't look like the best. It's not 4K.
Sure.
What I like to say is it's like 720-ish.
Yeah.
With some pop-in and some blur.
Yeah.
And I'm on an OG PS4. But being in the game really gives not only the characters and the environments a newfound sense of, like, appreciation, but the immersion does wonders. Mm-hmm. You know, in Skyrim, of course, you're like, ha ha ha. But I'm standing there, and there's this woman who is berating these kids right in front of me. And I, you know, I close the door behind me, and I just look at her, and then pull out my bow and arrow and put it right to her face and just bury it in her skull. And it feels so crazy good to do that, because then all of a sudden the kids are like, yay! And it's a surreal experience. Like, I just shot a woman in the face and now there's children all
around
me.
I'm going to leave now. It's making me feel uncomfortable.
Ooh. But before, I would walk in, I would just, like, pop off, shot, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, seeing this woman be like, you're all... I never realized even what she said before. Like, I walk in and she's like, you'll never have any parents and you'll all be here because you're all worthless. I'm like, wow, she's rude.
You want to go to the College of Winterhold? Too bad. Nobody's paying your tuition, scum.
Jumping off of mountains, the College of Winterhold. Oh, that's something too. Magic, destruction magic, beforehand, you could, you only have a cursor. You know, think first person shooter. You can't aim different places on the screen, but since you have control of both of your hands using the move controllers, as Kevin is miming right now, you can fire independently.
Yeah.
So that means if there's a guy behind you and you know it, you can just literally turn your hand behind you and shoot fire behind your back. That's not something you can do in Skyrim VR.
Best application of this, in my opinion, was when I was playing and I accidentally turned myself into a werewolf.
Yeah, that's something you can do.
I immediately did the thriller dance.
Mm-hmm. Because, so here's the thing, too. A lot of those instances in Skyrim, like when you turn into a werewolf, you turn into a vampire lord, you ride a dragon, they're forced into third person. Now, you can't do third person, or at least Skyrim did not want to do third person in VR. It has been done, but it's not great. So they brought on this third-party developer to make those things into VR. So now when you turn into a werewolf, you just get these giant,
like,
werewolf...
You get, like, Hulk hands.
Yeah, dude. And you, like, hunker down, claws. And you just slash at people. Riding horses feels completely different. You can, like, you know, freeform shoot arrows off of it. But that's what makes Skyrim great in VR, is that the game that I spent 200 hours sword and board, you know, one-handed shield, whatever, going at it, I'm now doing it as an archer. Sneaking is cool because I can literally peek around corners. There is a sense of immersion, and if that's something you enjoy, even without the move controllers, I've heard of people using the DualShock because there's tons of movement options. There's tons of motion sickness options as well, in case you're somebody who gets queasy. You can kind of play this game the way you want, and just being immersed in Skyrim makes it kind of worth it again. It's going to be up to you if $60 is worth Skyrim again. You know, that's a whole other argument. But for a VR version, people keep saying, like, Switch is the definitive way to go. And unless you really care about those crisp graphics, there's something to be said about being in the game. It's just a completely different experience, and it's, if you're going to play and you had the opportunity, you should play it that way.
Yeah.
You played, I guess, from your point of view, you only played 5 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Controls obviously take a little bit to get used to.
Yeah, yeah.
But what would you say, first impression? You literally just played this an hour ago.
It's pretty disorienting. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I didn't really do much in it. It's kind of cool, you know, going face-to-face with these characters. Like, when you're playing, I think the biggest thing that tipped me off was that I was looking these characters in the eye rather than being the character who's looking them in the eye. I was looking them, like, straight in the face. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean, is that when I went and talked to the companions, right? Small spoiler for the companions. Well, actually, I won't even bring it up. So no spoiler. But I went and talked to the companions. I didn't know these people by name.
Yeah.
But after your first, you know, walk around, like, here are all of our people in our guild that you're going to need to know. Like, I knew them when I saw them.
Yeah, it's probably some psychological thing.
It's weird. Like, when you feel like you're actually meeting someone in person, you will detail them and remember their clothes and stuff, at least in that instance.
Right.
And before, I was just being led by objective marker. I'm going to go talk to this person because the game tells me he is the person I need to talk to, not because I remember what he looks like.
Right.
But in Skyrim VR, that was a thing. So you said you were looking people directly in the eye.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Anything else you got on it? Because, I mean, Skyrim VR is just something that... And VR, time and time again, is going to be something that you have to see to believe. Now, something like Doom VFR is going to be a different experience than Doom 2016. But this is just Skyrim. The ways that it's been changed into the combat.
Yeah, no, I mean, it felt like classic Skyrim. But like you said, it was experiencing it in a whole different light.
You only got to be outdoors, I believe.
Yeah.
It does look a lot better indoors. Yeah. And that's just because of how much it has to render. You know, it's not... If you get up on the top of the mountain and you look out on all of the Skyrim, you're going to notice just how much pop-in there is. Because you move your head a teeny bit and it's trying to render where your focus is, it's all over the place. So it's not like the most beautiful game of all time, definitely, in VR. It's not going to, you know, win any awards for best-looking graphics, but the immersion, oh boy. Kevin, we are wrapping up this show. Well, by wrapping up, we got two things left on the docket. We can get messy or we can get real messy.
Let's get messy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you enjoyed this game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know which one we're talking about.
I'm talking about The Blob.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So The Blob is a game that... why don't you talk about it? Because you played it for just like, you know, a little bit. I want to look up what year this game was originally came out. Because this is a remaster. The Blob 2 came out on Xbox 360. And now we are getting The Blob 1. On Xbox One, PS4 in 2017.
So imagine Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
I like where you're going with this. Okay.
Imagine the Territories mode, but that's the whole game. And you're not fighting against somebody, you're fighting against the entire world that's gray. And so you are a little like bunny paint blob thing that hits these paint bots that changes your color, and then you run around and you jump on buildings and floors and trees and grass and everything you can find, and you bring color to the world.
Because the bad, I think they're called Inkies or something? What's the name of them? I think they're called the Inkies, but they have come in and they've taken all the color out of the world.
Yes.
And only you, as the Blob, can absorb the paint bots.
Yes.
And paint the colors of the town. This is a game that originally came out over 9 years ago.
Here's a free tagline for you, the Blob. Paint the town red.
June 27th, 2008. It's rated E for everybody. It was on the Wii originally. But that's what I wanted to talk about this game, is that, you know, even for a game that's 9 years old, I played it, and the first level was like 20 minutes. It is one of those games, like Kevin said, you have the whole town that's gray. And it's up to you how much you want to paint. You know, there's little challenges that pop up. It's like, hey, in 30
seconds. Your little buddies. And
yeah.
They're like, oh, paint this building this color and this one this color.
Or kill this many enemies or whatever. But it's a game that I found very relaxing to play. And it's a good thing to like pop in, listen to podcasts with. You know, there's certain games that I enjoy, you know, just popping on My Brother and Me, the Giant Bombcast, you know, one of those long podcasts that you really like to listen to and just kind of go through the motions of a game.
Right.
And The Blob is something that really offers that, and it's also really cool because there's tons of colors. There's something that is to be said about having an entirely gray area of play space, and then by the time you're done with it, you have hand-colored.
Yeah.
Not like hand-colored, but you have brought the life to it.
And it's got cool mechanics, like if you get, like, yellow, right? Like you kill a yellow bot.
Yes.
And then you kill a red one. Well, all of a sudden, you're orange.
Mm-hmm.
So you can combine colors. You can...
Primaries into compounds.
Know. Yeah, yeah. It's very low stakes because I don't really think you can die other than jumping in the water.
As you get further into the game, there's some things, but it is relatively low stakes.
Yeah.
It is a game that is not meant to be difficult.
Right.
Merely just you play...
It's explorational.
Yes, it's a game that you start off with like a time limit kind of thing, and then every time you complete a challenge, something you get more time, and eventually you're just trying to reach the end. You're trying to paint all the stuff, and once you've painted enough stuff, your high score gets high enough, you can go to the next area. It's a fun time, and I think it's $20 right now. I would say if you're looking for something, especially for your kids, it's a great game for creative kids.
It was a little too simple for my taste.
Yeah, but it is simple.
But I can see why.
Creative kids, people who are just looking for something to relax with, if you're trying to get something to listen to a podcast with.
Right.
It is a game that has only a few achievements, but is stuff that you'll want to go back and play. The Blob is a great time, guys. You should definitely, definitely check it out. Well worth the price at this point. I enjoyed it. I'm on like level 4, I think, right now. And these levels, like I said, depending on how long you want to be in there, could be 5 minutes, could be 30 minutes. And I had a great time jumping around. So you did as well? What color did you find yourself favoring?
Red. Red is the most prevalent.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
As you get later in the game, it's tons of stuff, and I like purple quite a bit.
Yeah, I like the... They have these little power-ups you can grab that turn... Well, you choose what mood you want your blob to be in before you start the level, and it can be anything from calm to funky, and then there's other ones you can
blissful
unlock.
And ecstatic. And
I pick funky. And so whenever I picked up these power-ups, it painted whatever I landed on funky instead of
that's
normal.
Cool. Yeah. It's a fun little game. Like I said, for a game that's over 9 years old. We're talking about a game that came out two console generations
ago. The graphics
ago.
Are pretty good on it, too, on all things considered.
Yeah, because it's very basic colors. Right. It's grays. It's, it's not like a realistic-looking game. It's kind of cartoony. So it holds up in 2017, which was when I was downloading the Blob. I'm going to be honest here. I wasn't like, this is a game that I'm going to spend, you know, my whole night on. And then I was like, yeah, I'll play this tonight. Like, it's a game you can fall into. That big sigh isn't to Blob. We're done talking about it. It is not. How
do you talk about this next one?
This is something that's ever...
Let's just say the name and let it sink. Just give like 5 seconds dead air.
Okay, you go ahead.
All right, the name of the game is Million Onion Hotel. Million Onion Hotel.
Just let it. I want you to, in your head, right? We're going to give you like 3 seconds here. 4 or 5 seconds. Just say those words really slowly, but in your mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Million Onion Hotel? Is it an indie?
What do you make of that? As your at first blush, listener, what do you think this game is?
Million Onion Hotel. What if I told you play the game by pressing on your screen?
It's a mobile game, yeah. I mean, that's...
What if I told you that you only tap on onions? Well, that would be a bold-faced lie. You tap. But for the majority, you tap on onions. This is a game that just recently came out on iOS and Android called Million Onion Hotels. Million Onion Hotel. Okay, because I want you to look it up.
Neutral Milk Hotel. Right.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, same here.
But Million Onion Hotel is made by a very small developer named Onion Games out of Shibuya, Tokyo, I think.
There's a weird air of mystery around this game. It's kind of cryptic.
I think. And that's something I think I will return to once I have done more digging. Me and Kevin probably do a little article about it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll even transcribe this. That could be cute.
That would be fun.
I've played... Because it's a score-based game.
Yes.
You start off, you're going for a high score.
Yep.
You enter the Million Onion Hotel, and basically what it is it's a tile-based game. Onions pop up, you tap them, and then that paints the square. And then
5x5 grid.
Mm-hmm. And when you make a line...
It's like bingo.
Yeah, it's like bingo. The onions pop up, you tap them, and once you've made a solid line...
Now, the onions are random. The onions are random.
You don't decide where the onions come up.
They just pop up random like whack-a-mole. It's onions, like whack-a-mole bingo.
It's like they're sentient onions. They know where they want to come up. You don't know.
Jazz music was playing right now.
Yes.
And every time you click an onion, it sings a note in the chord that's currently being played.
There's a very there's a lot of musicality to it.
It's almost rhythmic in that way.
And then every now and again you hear onion.
Imagine, if you will, a onion based
bingo
whack-a-mole
puzzle game Tetris, not Tetris,
with RPG boss fights in a different dimension. Onion nights,
onion time.
Paintbrushes.
Vignettes. Or you already said that.
Vignettes. Little showcases that happen in between.
It all goes not to shit.
No.
It all goes just so crazy.
It's just weird. It's like...
Would you say
it's like the first time you ever tried mac and cheese pizza.
What is this and why do I like it so much?
Yeah. I like pizza. I like mac and cheese. Never thought to put mac and cheese on pizza. Yet here we are.
How do we approach it? That's a good question, too. Million Onion Hotel. It's not even... It's a game... When you look at a game like Bingo or not bingo, because bingo is random, but if you look at a game, it's like a tile-based kind of thing like this.
Yeah, usually...
with a board, and it's like, hey, you can make singles
right,
and doubles.
Usually it's a match three or something like
something
that.
Something that's strategy.
Right. There's puzzle elements.
Bro, no. Like, I have never tapped my screen faster. There's certain points where it's just like, hey, here's all these enemies for no reason. And enemies, you just tap, and they...
There's something fun about it, because at times you feel like a DDR master with
that's
your
what
thumbs.
It, like Step Mania crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So it starts out slow, and one or two onions pop up, and they're just like, la, la, la. Like, tapping them, tapping them.
Yeah.
Boop, and then like four of them pop up, and you're like, la, la, bop, la, bop, la, bop, la, bop. And you're like, yeah, all right, yeah, 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 yeah.
And then all of a sudden
like,
it's like,
seven of them.
Onion time! You're like, bop, 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 bop,
and there's just like fruit, and hearts, and cows, and stars.
And then here comes the mob.
Yeah.
And the army.
Uh-huh.
And giant aardvark.
And then you fight a huge onion man?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I know this sounds like a joke, but this is legitimately
and
what
happens
in the game.
And the thing about it is the game feels so fun to play.
It's tight, too.
Yeah, it's when you think about it, it's like every random aspect of like a weird Japanese indie game that you want to play.
Yeah.
Except it's not bad. It doesn't feel cheap. It feels like it was solidly made.
Yeah, yeah. It's got that weird... you know when you're watching an anime and something weird happens and you're like, man, that is just so Japan. Like, that's just an indication of an in-joke that makes sense in Japan, and they're probably laughing their asses off, but I just don't really get it all that much. It's very gatekeepery in a way. Like, you have a hard time getting it if you're not immersed in the culture, if you don't understand the culture very well.
I think
or the media of the culture, I should say. It's just got this energy that's just like... crazy, crazy, crazy. I don't know. It's fun. It's a good time. It's manic.
Yes, it's manic. And I think the reason it is crazy, oh geez. I think yep. I typed in Million Onion Hotel on Twitter trying to get to the thing. Get to the dub page, and I think now people are starting to realize that this game is good. I think the reason that I was so surprised that the game felt great and felt tight. Was the juxtaposition of how almost childlike they present themselves on Twitter. Not in the sense of broken English. There is some broken English. Like, here's their Twitter bio. Do you know Million Onion Hotel? We are Onion Games from Tokyo, game designer of Tulip and Little King Story, Yoshiro Kimura's Tiny Team for Indie Game. Very broken English. But then people would be email or tweeting at him like, hey, how do you dodge his boss? And Kevin, what would they say?
So my favorite one that I saw was like, hey, I really love the game. How do I do this thing? And they just go, oh, thank you very much! Exclamation mark. And they don't answer the second question. And so it's like, in some ways, they're like, I don't know.
We will follow up on this as things get make more sense. Like, when you go to oniongames.jp, which is their about page, and you go to the dev team, it has like just like weirdly written bios for these people, and then there's a gif of the dev team that does not look like the dev team that's listed. Everything's under construction, which seems weird because they put out three games at
is this
point.
Some like ARG
that and
like
that's the weird ARG. Part because the opposite of it is that it's just a very good game made by people who don't know how to market anything at all, and it's don't know
but so somehow they've stumbled upon this brilliant marketing team.
But there's no way that they're that good at technically making a game and don't know how to make like a base website. We're talking about like,
oh, because the game is good. It's got the fingerprints of a very good game dev all
and
over.
Then you go to oniongames.jp, which is about them, and it looks like a NeoCities or a GeoCities website. Like, that's the thing. We did try to reach out to them. I you know, said, hey there, great job with Million Onion Hotel, and I asked them a few questions, to which they responded, okay, please wait, onions are going to answer. And that was 3 days ago. So
all right.
Everyone should download Million Onion Hotel.
It's not good.
It is not free. It's paid.
It's $4.
And let's be honest here, guys. You're probably spending way more than $4
on your loot boxes,
or even this holiday season. Mm-hmm. You're spending tons of money. $4 is really like you probably drop that in the Salvation Army bucket.
It really is worth it.
And
though.
Let's be honest, you shouldn't be dropping it in the Salvation Army bucket. You know they don't like gay people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I know that.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, take that donation you were getting. The guy who's like, ding-a-ling in the Santa outside your Walmart.
That's
like,
not his fault, though.
No, it's not him. So don't take it out on him. But when he's like, hey, do you want to donate? Instead, don't. Either buy a Million Onion Hotel or donate it to somebody else.
Put a cigarette butt in there.
Yeah, put a cigarette butt in there and then be like, hey, why don't you update your life? outlook.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That's mean.
It's not the person who's ringing the bell.
Right.
It's the corporation behind it, which is really ironic. We're not going to talk about Salvation Army or any of these other things right
really
now.
Really about because Onion Hotel. Just buy it. It's good.
Buy it. It's good. It's on Android. It's on iOS. Mm-hmm. I would. Would you say it's better to play on like an iPhone level or like an iPad? If you had the option.
Damn.
See, because that is a big difference.
But I would go no bigger than small tablet.
Yeah, because it's just too much. Unless you have more than one person playing. If you have two friends playing, or maybe like you have two kids and an iPad, Million Onion Hotel would be crazy.
Oh, I bet that's good. I bet that's good.
That's a fresh hit for you.
That's...
Well, we will talk about...
I would say that's a fresh take.
We will talk about Million Onion Hotel because it came out in 2017, and we have mobile categories in Game of the Year. We will see... I don't know how much kind of legs it has because each time, you know, you play through it, you get to a different, further level.
Yeah.
It is score based, but, it is crazy. And say anything more would be truly spoiling it. It's something you have to see to believe. If you don't really want to spend the money or something, or you feel you don't have that money to spend, you feel a little bit cheap or whatever, I guess check it out on YouTube.
You know, grandma's going to give you $50 for Christmas. Just buy it, guys.
Just buy it. With that being said, I think we have said all we need to say.
Yep.
You know what? Usually we do this before. Yeah, we should have done it before. So we won't do it now. I was going to say, what do you think Million Onion Hotel is in 5 words? Or 10 words or less? That would have been a really good one.
Yeah, we should have.
Well, hey, you know what? But at least we don't lie and pretend. You know, like we had ideas. We just admit our faults. I don't have anything else. We hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving coming in to December, regardless of what you celebrate. Christmas, mm-hmm. Hanukkah, none of the above, all of the above, anything.
Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa?
Yeah. Hey, whatever you celebrate. From our family to yours, happy holidays. We will be having, like you said, a December issue. We'll have the Destiny 2, we'll have Doom VFR, and maybe Okami. Those will be on that first episode in December. We'll have our Christmas special like we normally do, mm-hmm. as long as holiday time permitting. And then coming into episode 100, what we're talking about, best of 2017, my guys. And then after that, after best of 2017, January is a little bit, not too much stuff coming out in January. So probably do maybe that D&D mini arc thing then coming into it. And that should be fun. If you guys want to talk to us, oh, by the way, this isn't the end of the show. Stick around, because Kevin has a spicy game fact. Right, Kevin? You will have one.
Will, yes.
Okay, so while Kevin finds his spicy game fact that he has saved for us previously, Twitters. You want to reach out to us on Twitter, you can find the official show Twitter, which is at SuperGameCast64. But if you want to talk to me, Matt, it's at SGC64Matt.
I'm at gingerbeard_man, beer like the beverage.
And if you want to talk to Tyler, he is at ttremolio. If you want to email us, that's sgc64mail@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook group, facebook.com/SGC, and then 64 spelled out. If you guys want to read articles and stuff, or check out any of my streams, we do have a YouTube, which is, I think, youtube.com/channel/SGC64, but just SGC and 64. And then a 90skid.com, Shonen Trash. That's a great anime podcast.
Shout out to our friends over at Choose My Own Adventure podcast.
Shoots out. Bang, bang.
And all of our new listeners that were hopefully tuning in after we joined the Mabim Bam podcasting group.
Mabim Bambinos.
They're a really great group of people, man. They've been really giving some good advice. I've been really happy with joining that group.
We'll drop a link in there.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, you guys are good people.
If you guys are also podcasters and you want a great group of people that... share a common interest in our love for the McElroy family of podcasts.
Yeah.
Check them out.
And if you don't know who they are, you should definitely check out all their shows. McElroyShows.com. I just plug that for them. I mean, they're great podcasters. They're great podcasters.
Especially not from us.
You know what? Here's the thing about that, though. Very small sidebar before we go into this. I originally, when I was first getting into podcasts, like back in the OG, because this game podcast, Super Gamecast 64, has been around for 11 years.
Oh, yeah.
I know we're only on episode 8. We take a lot of breaks and stuff.
And there's been reboots and rehashes. We've changed
the show title. Yeah. But back in the day when I was starting out, I'd be like, hey, what's a good podcast? People recommend My Brother, My Brother, and Me. Mm-hmm. And I listened to that in the first 50.
Damn.
But it was shit. And I didn't like it.
That's cool.
Because the first, we know
that they're rough. They acknowledge that they're rough. You know, it's
but I always feel so bad that I didn't pick it up then on the ground floor, because I listened when it was like episode 200 and listened to all of them back.
You put that little feather in your cap.
Yeah, but hey, you guys should all check them out. That's all we have for you guys. Kevin.
It's Thanksgiving. I'm feeling grateful. I'm going to give you two game facts.
Wow. One for Thanksgiving and one for the consumerism. One
for the road.
Yeah, one for take-home plate, if you will.
So, you remember in Super Smash Bros. Melee?
Yes.
You could play as Princess Daisy.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. No, you couldn't play as her. I'm sorry.
No.
But they had all those
trophies. I was going along with it for the...
Yeah. They had all those trophies.
Which by the way...
I'm pretty sure if you played as Peach and you changed her skin color, like, you know, she different skin color, not literally her skin
color. But like the skins of the game.
The color of her skins in the game.
Yes.
You could look like Daisy. Anyway,
real quick, semantics. But before you said the Smash trophies from Melee are amiibos.
What? Oh, yeah, that's right. We figured that we had that revelation last episode.
I didn't want to bring that up again, just in case someone didn't listen to that episode.
They were like the OG amiibos.
Yep.
So you could get a Princess Daisy trophy, and she had a third eye on the back of her head.
Whoa, really? It was one of those you have to like...
I'm going to have to check it out, but I don't know.
You have to move the model around.
Probably,
and
like break it, you know? Like.
Hell yeah.
Okay, and the second one might make you a little sad, but not in a bad way. Originally, Shadow of the Colossus, everybody's favorite game.
There's a PS4 remaster coming out next
year. Was going to feature groups of characters on horseback working to take down the Colossi cooperatively.
Ah, but then it became the single play.
Well, that aspect was too taxing for the PS2's hardware.
Yeah. So
they could not
Speaking of Shadow of the Colossus, I heard about people who had played the PS4 remake, and they said that it's still pretty janky. Yeah. The visuals look good, but it's Shadow of the Colossus still. I'm looking forward to playing that. But yeah, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
This is an interesting episode. We got about an hour and 20, but normal time. I thought it was going to be... pretty light, but hey, it's pretty dense. Got some good goofs in there.
Yeah, some good ones.
So thanks, guys, for listening. We'll be back
Still got it.
We do still have it. We'll be back here in a few weeks, in the early weeks of December. And perhaps Tyler will be with us. Perhaps he'll be busy. We'll see until then. But until next time, thanks for joining. And as always, imagine a world completely underwater. Why, Dan?
Why?
Why? Stick to it.